Bill McKibben has been a commanding voice on environmental issues for years. He's a scholar, a best-selling author, and a frequent contributor to major publications. And now Bill McKibben has started a grassroots campaign to push the U.S. government to commit to reducing carbon emissions 80% by the year 2050. It's called Step It Up 2007, and he and his web organizer John Warno join me from Burlington, Vermont, to talk about the booming movement and its call for demonstrations and events around the country on April 14th. Bill, I understand you have more than 750 sites already signed up, but what kinds of things are going to be going on?
Well, maybe I'll tell you a few of the favorite things I've heard, and John can chime in with some of his. One of the things we've been talking about with people is try to do something in a place that really makes it clear to you, or clear to everyone else, what the cost of global warming is going to be. So there are teams of scuba divers who will be rallying underwater with a banner off the endangered coral reefs in Key West. There are teams of skiers who are doing a kind of two-day ascent of mountains, dwindling glaciers in Montana and Wyoming. They're going to do a sort of cybercast from the summit and then ski in formation down to the town below and take part in rallies there. There'll be climbers up on many of the kind of iconic rock faces around the country. There'll be a hybrid car parade across the Golden Gate Bridge. John, what are some of your...
I really enjoy the actions that are sort of more local, more grassrootsy. There's, you know, countless actions that are just being held in city parks and on the steps of churches and things that, you know, might not stand out as iconic places in the consciousness of America, but are iconic in individual communities. And we're really going for local action distributed, not just in New York, not just in San Francisco, not just in D.C., but in, well, 757 communities and counting now.
Where will you be that day, John?
That's yet to be determined. It's very likely I'll be behind a computer screen somewhere tapping furiously on my keyboard trying to figure out how all this is going to come together in the most elegant and smooth way possible.
Now, Bill McKibben, you say this big demonstration is sort of a virtual march on Washington. Why not a march on Washington?
We really wanted this to be, we wanted Congress to know that this came from people in their districts who considered this a top priority issue. And we wanted everyone, here's the real answer, the picture in my mind's eye from the beginning of this has been that at the end of the day on April 14th, there are going to be pictures pouring in from these hundreds upon hundreds of rallies. We'll have a kind of cascade of images of people showing their concern in large numbers, you know, when it all is said and done, but from every corner of this country. And those images will somehow make this whole day more than the sum of its parts. I mean, it'll do a lot of good just community by community to educate Congress people, but it also is going to have a kind of national and long-lived presence on the web and on all the other ways that we can figure out how to utilize those beautiful pictures.
So, John, you're handling the online aspect of this campaign. Can you describe how the internet and the website have made this all possible?
Absolutely. It's been really a beautiful thing to watch all this come together. We've seen sort of this exponential increase in the number of actions. Just with simple tools like email, people can spread the word so much more easily than they once would have been able to. You know, we have pages on MySpace and on the Facebook to sort of encourage people to really sort of get this out to everyone they know and to everyone they don't know. Websites are cropping up for, you know, Step It Up Buffalo, Step It Up Seattle, you know, Step It Up UK, Step It Up Canada. It started to go international, and all without us actually doing anything actively. We sort of just planted the seed and we've watched it grow.
So this is nothing from the top down. This is...
Well, Steve, this billion... In a sense, what we did was just all nothing more than have an invitation to a party and a potluck at that and said, look, come on April 14th and bring your best dish.
John, so why does a self-respecting college graduate work for, what, $100 a week instead of a more lucrative occupation and really no future prospects after April 14th?
It's a fine question, but... I think that many people my age really do view global warming as sort of the challenge of our generation. We recognize that we will be alive to see sort of the worst ramifications of this thing if we don't act quickly. And the apathetic college student that's often portrayed in the mainstream media is sort of a far cry from what we're actually seeing. On campuses nationwide, we're seeing a generation of young people who are especially excited and enthused to really get involved in this issue, which we need to come together on very quickly.
Now, in the social movements of the past, there's been a value that people have been striving towards, but also a value that they've been working against for the rights of people of color and for women against the Vietnam War, with very specific targets and sometimes even villains. Who are your Bull Connors? Who are your Richard Nixons of this particular movement?
Well, the first thing to be said is really nobody comes off all that well. I mean, we've had a 20-year bipartisan effort to accomplish nothing, and it's been highly successful. In the last 6 years, it's clear that things have taken an even more extreme turn for the worse, that the Bush administration and that some of the environmental leadership on Capitol Hill, people like Senator Imhoff of Oklahoma, have been particularly obstructionist. Now there's an opening. It's not an easy opening. You know, on the other side are forces like ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil made $40 billion last year. We're not going to beat them with money. We're going to beat them with bodies, with people willing to make a creative and really powerful commitment to this with the same kind of moral urgency that animated the civil rights movement.
Bill, before you go, you know, any mass movement from the 60s anyway had a lot of protest songs. What do you guys got?
You're absolutely right. One of the things that the environmental movement has been lacking is it's not a singing movement. And that's one of the first things we wanted to figure out how to address. And what do you know, this same set of tools came in absolutely handy to do it. We put out the call partly through a website called Muse Cool the Planet for songwriters who wanted to write songs about climate change. And pretty soon they were flooding in. You can see a variety of them on our website, including our own more or less official theme song, Step It Up by the Gallerists, which we play each morning before we get out of bed, you know, in order to get ourselves charged up for the day's work.
Switching books just ain't enough. We gotta step it up.
John Warnow is the web organizer, and Bill McKibben is the Uber organizer of Step It Up 2007. Thank you, gentlemen, both.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
Coming up, wild beavers are back in New York City, and you can find out why just ahead on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from you, our listeners, and from member stations. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.